arms. That's up to you.
Seated. You're what made me think of it. It's just an exciting day. I'm going to start a little different. We're going to have announcements in just a second, but I had a couple scriptures that I just can't wait to share with you. One of them is Joshua 9:14, and I'll give a little background. But so the men of Israel took some of their provisions and did not ask for the counsel of the Lord. And that whole story goes further and further into all the things that went wrong because they did not ask for the counsel of the Lord. And I'm just excited. In a little bit, Drew's going to come up and share a little bit about Brandon and things surrounding that. And we have been for a year seeking the counsel of the Lord on getting the right man for this church. And I'm jumping up and down. Anyhow, I'll let Drew share some stuff on that. I have one more scripture that goes along with that. And in Psalms 40, verse 3, and he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. And I'm just rolling here, so I put a bunch of these in the back, and you just flip it each way, and it says something different. And one side says, the gift of God is eternal life, and you turn it over, and it says, the wages of sin is death. So I kind of did that backwards, but anyhow. And on the back, it gives you some of the Romans Road. And we are here on this planet as believers to share what Christ has done in our lives. And so pick up some of these and give them to somebody. It tells what Christ has done in our lives and what he can do in their lives. So with that said, we will go to announcements, and I'll start with Margo.
So my girls are going to be mad. This is the first Sunday Jake has been able to be here since Christmas, and I'm going to have to spoil a surprise that we have going because he's here, so he's going to hear about it. So Jake, pretend you're not listening. So if you guys have not noticed, the world is not loving police officers right now. It has just gone crazy, and it's already a really hard job, but right now it's a lot harder. There's just so much hostility and ugliness, and I know that there is still more love than there is ugly. Love is just quieter. So I am doing Operation Spread the Love, and you will see there is, I know, cheesy. In the back, there is a poster that the girls and I have made and a bunch of hearts that we've cut out. And I encourage you, if you still feel led, take a heart, write something on it, an encouraging word, a verse, thank you, whatever you feel like. If you don't want to fill it out here, take hearts home, or you can make hearts at home, and you can drop them off at my salon this week. I'm there Monday and Tuesday. You could slip them under the door, 700 East Main. And the girls and I and a bunch of group, we're called Married to the Badge, and it's Police Wives of Western Colorado, are going to go on Friday to the Delta Police Department and the Sheriff's Office. And then there's teams doing all the local agencies on different days. So Friday at 1 o'clock, we're going to go, and we're just going to paste these hearts and these messages literally onto the police department where they can see that the community still does stand behind them. Also, please be praying. Because again, it's just really hard. The officers are feeling down and feeling hated and feeling heaviness. And we want them to know that they are so loved and so appreciated. So if you want to fill out a heart, please say a prayer for them and sign the paper. Thank you.
Western Slope, we still love our first responders. So. You can wait a minute. I'm going to do two more. CR. Anybody know what that stands for? All right, Celebrate Recovery. They are continuing to meet, and they're meeting here at 7 o'clock. They are hoping soon to go back to their normal schedule of 6:30 dinner and then on into meetings. But they are still meeting now at 7 o'clock. So be here and enjoy. God's working in that and working in the lives of those who are there. So on Friday nights, 7 o'clock. Thank you, Margo. Youth is going to start back up this week from 6:30 to 8:30. And I didn't hear what day. I assume that's Wednesday. Okay, I heard a yep. So Wednesday at 6:30, the youth will be meeting here. And now, Drew.
Good morning. Good morning. You guys do so much better the second time. Did anybody receive any news this week about Celebration Church? Did anybody get one of these? Did everyone get one of these? If you didn't get one of these, you can get one of these at the back. And what this is a nomination for a new pastor for Celebration Church, Pastor Brandon Mathis. He will be here the last weekend of June, the 26th through the 28th, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And there's so much to talk about. It's interesting, we couldn't talk, now we can talk about Brandon. And if you didn't get one of these, you're probably not on the email list, so see me afterwards. I want to make sure you get on our email list, or I've got your email wrong. But we do have hard copies of these at the back. What this is a summary of what the process is going forward and what our bylaws say, and then the majority of this is about Brandon and giving you background. And then there's, I think, five, maybe six different sermons you can go listen to. Brandon's been married for 8 years to his wife, Melissa. They met in college at Colorado State University in Fort Collins. Interestingly enough, Brandon felt called to the ministry at the age of 13, when he was in eighth grade. He's never wavered from it. And if you read, I'm not going to tell you what I read or what I wrote, what we put together, even though I want to. But I want you to go read that stuff. Brandon and his wife have three kids. I think they're 2, 4, and 6, something like that. Oldest is 7. Anne read it. and she remembers it. The process that we went through was that we had to have a unanimous agreement on from all of the pastor search team and everyone on the elder board had to be in unanimous agreement before we would be recommending to the church a pastor. And we got that. In fact, we got a lot of excitement around that. We looked at over 100 candidates. Believe me, it's a lot of work to look at 100 candidates and give each one a fair share. Brandon was always at the top of the list. He was always a top player. And compared to the ones that we had, it just felt like he met the criterias that we had put together and prayed on early in the process. So to give you some idea, we decided that what we needed to do between the elders and the search team, or the elders and the search team, was figure out where the church needed to be going so we could figure out what pastor needed to come to get us there. And we put that criteria together. Brandon fit that criteria very well. We've got some tears in here because it was when we think back, I wish I could share with you everything that happened and how we got to this point. All I can say in summary is God did it. He led us there. We didn't try to force any of the issues that came up. God led us there. We have an amazing search team, an amazing set of elders that when we work through all of this. And so if you have any questions, you can ask any of us, and we will share with you now. So, and we would be glad to share with you what we know. And then do your homework. Listen to his sermons. You really get to know somebody. And it was interesting because we listened to a lot of his sermons, and then we talked to him, and you kind of feel like you knew him before you even talked to him. And so listen to those sermons. And if you need more information, we'd be more than glad to share it with you. All right? Thank you.
Amen to that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. If you all would lift up the first responders, in particular the police and sheriff departments. And if you'd lift up Brandon and Melissa as they would be prepared for when they come in 2 weeks and just the time that we could get to know them intimately in a short time. And then just give praise to God for what he's done through this search team. And then if each one of us would ask the Lord to just show us what he has next for each of us individually to do, whether by ourselves or corporately. And Father, we just come before you. We thank you for this time that we can fellowship, we can worship, we can just praise who you are, what you've done, the creation around us, the beauty and the intricacy of the human body that you've made and created and allow us to understand a little bit. And we just thank you that you're so far beyond us, but you allow us to see glimpses of who you are, and we just look forward to the day that we get to do this in person. And we ask that you be in our time now as we come to worship you in song and then in word, and be with Steve as he brings us what you put on his heart. We just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I have one last thing to just go off of from what Drew just shared, and that is Pastor Chip Martin has been gone for just over a year now, and dearly loved. He was a very close friend for me, and I was just looking over this week, and it hit me that God used him to lay a foundation here, and he did that well, and prepared us for what's coming next. And Brandon is that one God has chosen, it appears, to be the one to take us to that next step. So he will be building on a foundation that's already been laid here, and I'm just excited to see what that's going to look like. So, all right.
If you'd like to stand again, we'll continue our praise and worship.
We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship him now. How great, how awesome is he, and together we sing. The earth. the secret, in the quiet place. In the stillness, you are there. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you. Cause I want to know. Pressing onward, pushing every hindrance aside, out of my way, cause I want to know you more. I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. I want to know you more. I want to touch you. I want to see your face. I want to know you more. I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. I want to know you more. I want to touch you. To see your face, I want to know you more.
This last song talks a lot about all of the things that God created, the mountains and the seas and the rivers and all of us. And in this time where there is so much that's just unknown, every day you wake up and think, okay, I'm ready for it. What's next? And I hate to say that because there's always something next. But just like I've preached and preached over the weeks before, I'm getting to be quite a little preacher here. God is good and God has a plan. God is on the throne and he already fought the fight and he already won. Those of us, Margo, that worries every day, God already won. So my encouragement to you this week is just to know if he is in your heart, he is on the throne, and he's already won. So let's worship him together.
Over the mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me, and I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth. Sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love and the sea. Your river runs with love for me, and I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands, for I will always sing of when your love came down. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever.
Let's sing that one more time, just the voices.
I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever.
Father God, we could sing of your love forever. Lord, all of the things that you give us, all of the blessings in our lives, all of the good things, God, we know comes from you. I just ask, Lord, that you give us the strength to face each day, whatever it may hold, God. If there's someone here today or watching on this program, God, that doesn't know you, I ask today is the day, God, that you just draw their hearts to you. Help them to know that this world is just too hard without you, God. Just open our hearts and our ears for what you have for us. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Good morning. Ah, it's on. I guess I just left it on, Larry. I hope you didn't have it on while I was singing. It is good to be here with you guys again today. And for those of you that have no idea what this is all about, a couple weeks ago when I was here, my friend Dan had on a Hawaiian shirt. And I made comment, I was preaching on freedom. You'll remember that? The sacred truth of freedom out of Romans. And I thought, you know, part of that freedom is that I could preach in a high Hawaiian shirt. I'm not. But next best thing is that I'll wear this today. Somebody gave it to me as I came in and told me what the deal was, and I looked at it and went, oh, yeah. So at least I know that a few of you were listening a couple weeks ago as I was sharing with you a little bit on the freedom that we have out of the book of Romans. Today I want to kind of continue on with that thought pattern. Today's message will be sacred truths from Romans. And here's the emphasis today. Submissive duties. Submissive duties. Now, I want to give a shout out to our group in the other room. We're glad to have you guys back there. And I mean, not that we're glad to have you guys back there, but it is, we're just glad to have another space where people can be. God has provided that, and so it's very nice. But I want you guys in the back in the gym area to understand that I have placed a spy back in that area. And if you're not saying amen enough, that spy will stand up and kind of go like this. You know, I'm just kidding. I don't have any idea who's back there. So as we look at, I thought about just calling this duties, because as we read through here, you'll see that it is all about we as Christians and the things that we do, if you will, not to make us Christians or even better Christians, but to allow God to have His way in our lives. And so duties just never felt good to me. When you preach on freedom one week and duties the next week, it almost sounds a little bit juxtaposed, doesn't it? And so I thought, well, the reality is that I really believe in what it says here in Romans chapter 12. But the only way that you and I can fulfill what Paul lays out for us is by the indwelling Holy Spirit of God and His freedom to live through us. If it's any other way, we've got it backwards. If we think we can do something to make God happy or to get Him to do something for us, we've got the wrong God. It's really the other way around. We serve Him. Amen? First 11 chapters in the book of Romans really has to do with theology, if you will. Now, you can read it not knowing anything about theology, and that's great, no big deal, and I haven't emphasized that, but that's really basically what it is. It's really a great systematic theology. It's some of my favorite. But beginning in chapter 12, you'll see a word there that's really important, and that word is therefore. Therefore. And it is therefore a transition. Okay? It is a bridge word, if you will. And so he is changing thought patterns right now and going in a little bit of a different direction. And what he's saying is, we know this stuff, so how do we apply it? What does it look like in the Christian life? And that's what we're going to begin to look at this morning. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, therefore, I urge you. In fact, is I think in the King James it says, I beseech you, therefore, my brethren. I urge you, my brethren. Now remember, Paul has never been to the church at Rome. He is talking to people he has never met. But what he's saying is, as brothers and sisters in Christ, this is so, so important that you catch this next little bit that I'm going to share with you. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Now that just reminds us that there's no way we can do it in and of ourselves. Amen? It is only by God's grace, only by God's mercy, that we can do any of this. It's only by God's mercy that we're here today. It's only by God's mercy that Paul can call us brethren and sisters, by the way. So it is important for us to grasp the thought that we are spiritual beings no longer held by the world. I think Margot hit it right on the head today when she was talking about that God has already won the battle. We have freedom because of that. And he says, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies. To present your bodies. Here I am, Lord. Such as I am, Lord. And the cool thing about it for me is that it kind of takes being old out of it. And the reality is, it takes being young out of it. All we're saying is, here's what I got. It's yours. Use it as you see fit. I don't own it anymore. You died. You were buried. You rose again to redeem me, and me includes this. No matter whether it's young, no matter whether it's old, no matter whether it's good looking, no matter whether it's not, it really doesn't matter. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present yourselves a living and holy sacrifice. Holy means nothing more than set apart. Amen? You all know that. Means set apart for special service. Normally, in our thought pattern, it is set apart for special service unto God. By and for God. And we kind of use that terminology. But that's really all that it means. And what he's saying is here, you're still living. So you, by God's mercy, because you can't do it yourself, step over here and give God everything. Living and holy sacrifice. Every aspect of who I am, God, you have. Used to be in the 1800s, when you bought a ranch, you bought it lock, stock, and barrels. Not many barrels around anymore, but and the reality is, that's the way we give God. Lot, stock, and barrels. However that you want to use me. Now this next part, I think, is an interesting thought pattern. Acceptable to God. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God. Now, what that means is, don't go out and booger stuff up. And we do. Amen? I don't know this about any of you. But what he's saying here is when you give God your bodies, give him the best body you got. Don't be out there messing it up. Don't be messing it up with drugs. Don't be messing it up with alcohol. Don't be messing it up with promiscuity. Don't be messing it up. Amen? Any of you want to say, oh my? It is important for us to grasp that thought of acceptable to God. Now that doesn't mean if you've already messed things up that you can't ever come to him. Amen? What it means is from this point on, now that he's paid the price, now that you've given him everything, now that you are that living sacrifice, holy, set apart for him, don't mess it up any more than you already have. Acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service in worship. It is your spiritual service in worship. That means when I come before God and I am saying, holy, 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 O Lord God Almighty, thou who was and is and forever shall be, in whatever form that might take, that I am coming with everything. With everything. And then he goes on to say, but be transformed. I'm sorry. And do not. In fact, is that word do not right there means stop? Because often we continue on living pretty much the same lives that we have lived and saying we're Christians now. And you've got a lot of friends like that. Amen? There's a lot of people in the world like that. Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Really? It is our spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world. Do not stop being conformed to the stuff of the world. And he's going to list a whole bunch of stuff here in just a minute. Get out of it. And here's how you do it. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Is the mind part of all of who I am? It needs to be renewed. Amen? My spirit has been born again. Now my mind must be, listen, continually renewed. Continually transformed. That word that he's talking about right there, that thought pattern of being transformed by the renewing, that renewing is continuous action. It's always happening. And I have to give God the freedom to be able to do that. And that comes again from being submissive to God and not telling God what I want to do or what I want Him to do, but allowing God to tell me what He's going to do and what He wants me to do. And that goes against religion, but it is every part of a spiritual life with God. Being transformed by the renewing of your mind, listen, for only one reason, so that you may prove what the will of God is. That which is good and acceptable and perfect. So here's a question that every reader of this piece of Scripture has to stop and ask themselves. Young, old, in between, doesn't matter the economic status you have, it doesn't matter any of the social standings, it just doesn't matter any of that stuff. But we need to ask ourselves, am I proving who God is by the lifestyle that I live? Woo! Not one amen there. Am I proving who God is by the lifestyle that I live? And that's really what that means. Listen to it again. So that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Is that the life that we are presenting to the world? Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And there's only one way that you can do that, and that's spiritually. Amen? I can't do that myself. It is not something that I grunt out. It's not some magic thing. It's not hypnosis. It's not religion. It's not learning. It's not any of that stuff that the world thinks that it is. It's not even turning over a new leaf. It is allowing the Holy Spirit of God to transform my mind in such a way that the world is going, what happened to that guy? Because that in itself is the proof of what is good and acceptable and holy. Amen? I mean, really. We must rely on every aspect of who we are being changed by the Holy Spirit of God. Because there's none of it we can do ourselves. Every time, and you'll vouch for this, every time that you try to be a good Christian, you mess it up, don't you? I mean, Paul says the same thing. We talked about that last week. Romans chapter 7, Romans chapter 8. That which I want to do, I don't do. And that which I don't want to do, I do. Oh, who will set me free? You remember that verse? And just a couple chapters over, and by the way, this wasn't written in chapters. You all know that, right? And so just a few chapters over, he's saying, man, I urge you, now that you have been set free, it is so important for us to submit ourselves as a living and holy sacrifice unto God, which is our spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to the things of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may let people know what God has done in your life. Amen and amen. The first thing that we see there is concerning our duty to God. We see what is godliness. The second thing that I want to share with you is concerning our submissive duty to ourselves. Now, growing up, 71 years old almost, and I'm probably still not grown up, or else I wouldn't wear something like this up front. But as we're looking at what it means to give over ourselves and to look at God and then our duty to ourselves, when I was a kid in Sunday school, we had a song that we sang, went, Jesus and others and you, what a wonderful way to spell joy. Anybody remember that song? No? Well, thank you, Dan. Why don't you teach it someday to these guys? Yep. Jesus and others and you, what a wonderful way to spell joy. And so as I was going through and setting up my sermon, I really wanted to use that, but it's not the way that it was outlined in the scriptures. And so to be true to the scriptures, I just said, okay, I'll tell them about it, but I'll go another route. So we know what our duty to God is, and that is be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to Him. Amen? So let's look at then the submissive duty to ourselves. Comes in the next few verses. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Uh-oh. But to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all those members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another, so since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving, or he who teaches, in his teaching. He who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Listen, not everybody is going to be just like you. Hallelujah. Not everybody. Not every preacher is going to be just like me. And yet sometimes we hold people accountable to be just like me. And it's not ever going to happen that way. God didn't put together the church that way. Amen? We're never going to be all alike. Hallelujah! Let us, therefore, celebrate differences. Now, I've got to tell you, that is hard. That is hard. I go and listen to other preachers, or I'll watch a preacher on TV, and all the time I'm going, well, if he'd just get a little more fire in his britches, he'd be a lot better off, you know. Or, he just doesn't speak well, or, you know, he's got too many colloquialisms, or whatever that it might be. And you do the same thing. And we become critical of each other when we really have no right. Each one of us are submissively being the people that God is making us. And if I can get that through my mind, it makes a lot easier for me to deal with some of you. I don't mean that in a critical standpoint. But the reality is that shouldn't we be celebrating the gift of teaching? Shouldn't we be celebrating the gift of giving? Instead of saying, everybody has to do this. It's not what it says. No place does it say that. The only thing that all of us must have in common is that submissiveness. Let me read on here. He who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. At first, this has got to seem like a call to the duty of others. And probably reflectively it is, because all of those things, 1 Corinthians tells us that my gifting is what? It's for you. Your gifting is for me. It's for the common good. It's not for you. But the reality is that until I become the person that God has called me to be, how can I help you to become the person that God has called you to be? And that's true not just for the preacher, not just for the teacher. It is true for every one of us. It is so important to grasp that thought pattern of being the person that God would have you to be. Irregardless of whether you're comfortable with it, irregardless of whether you think you can do it, irregardless of what others might think about it, it's who God made you. Not all of us can be Billy Graham, or even Billy Graham's teacher, Billy Sunday. I mean, that's just a reality. We can practice. We can try. I used to try to preach his sermons. Never worked. So I went to Spurgeon, and I couldn't stand up here for 3 or 4 hours. That's what it takes just to read a Spurgeon sermon. Not for me to even preach it. It's an admonition to me personally to be content where God has placed me. And that is so hard for most of us. I want to be like that other guy. I want to preach like him. I want to go like him. I want to do like him. I want to go to those places. I want to do those things. I want to be a missionary. I want to be whatever. Amen? We want to always try to be like somebody else instead of being what God has called us to be. Be content with who God has made you and be the best version of who God has made you. Be the best version, because this goes on to say this: let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. What's one of the things in the world that the church is known for? Hypocrisy. I don't want to go down there and sit with all those hypocrites. Amen? Oh, the church is just full of a bunch of hypocrites. And right here, it says as far as you are personally concerned, as you love people, let your life be without hypocrisy. Don't tell them you love them and then go out and talk bad about them. Amen? Don't say, this is who I am, and then live a whole different lifestyle. Don't say, God, I'm going to give you my body, but now I'm going to ruin it over here. Because I'm worth it. After all, it is my body. Now, I got news for you, Christian. It is not your body. They're not your fingers. They're not your eyes. They're not your toes. It's not your liver. It's God's. Plain and simple. We talked about that in the first two verses. I just gave everything to Him, a living and holy sacrifice. I'm laid out on the altar. Whatever you want to do, God, is fine with me. Now, I'm not saying that's easy, because there will come along some things that you don't want God to do. Here I am. Here is an admonition that God's love is to shine out from us in truth and not given and then taken back. Love is not given and then taken back. By total submission to Christ in us, and we in Him, we have only to cling to what is good, Christ, and abhor evil. The third thing I want you to see today is our duty to others. First of all, our submissive duty to God. Second of all, our submissive duty to ourselves. And third of all, our submissive duty to others around us. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Wow. If I'm devoted to you, means I can't go talk bad about you. Amen? Means I'm going to be helping you every way that I can, however I can. Even if it's not convenient for me. Give preference to one another in honor. We'd rather have the honor go to us. We'd rather somebody come up and go, "Oh, that was good. You're such a good person. Man, I wish I could be just like you. Oh, man, you're always at the forefront of every event that goes on. Turn it around and give others more honor than yourself. Because the reality is that you and I can't do anything in and of ourselves anyway. So if anything good happens, it happens because of God in us, not because of us. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now that does not mean that I work my head off to make sure that everybody knows that I'm a good Christian. I'm down there every time the doors are open. I accept all the positions of responsibility. I'll just do anything anybody wants me to do, just so everybody knows. No, 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 no. No, no, no. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. Contributing to the needs of the saints and practicing hospitality. Here's a tough one. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. I'll get back at you. I'll get you. No matter how long it takes, we hear a lot about that, don't we? I have worked with a church that has gone through 12 pastors, I think it is, in about 17 years. And the mindset from the core group is, none of these pastors are the same as that pastor way back. It's just not the same. We don't like you as much as we like him. He's our pastor. The guy's dead. He's our pastor. Really? And it's killing the church. It's killing the ministry in that community. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. I think that most of us do a pretty good job with that. I know you guys do. I know that when my dad passed away last October, I got a lot of cards from Celebration Church. And I thank you for that. Got a lot of comments. I know that you know how to weep with those who are weeping and to rejoice with those who rejoice. Now, here's another one that's a tough one for all of us. Talk about a transformation of our minds. Be of the same mind toward one another, and do not be haughty in mind. But associate with the lowly. Don't be haughty. Now you can think about it as rhyming with naughty. Haughty and naughty. And they're the same thought pattern as far as God's concerned. Well, I won't go to that church. That's on the other side of town. I don't want to help those people because they don't even know how to help themselves. They don't even know how to dress right. Long time ago, as one of your North American Mission Board missionaries, I would travel around the United States at different times and speak to churches. And one church that I was in at one time, I was staying with a couple, and they were telling me that they had gone into this area, and I'm not even sure why they got into there, but I think that man was a doctor, and he just had some patients that were from the lower income section of town, and started bringing some of those children and some of those young adults to church, and was told that he shouldn't do that. Yeah. Why do we do that to each other? Regarding equality with each other as something to be grasped. Our world, think about our world and the stuff that we're going through right now. And think about these entreaties right here. And if we'd only do this, if the church would only do this, things would be totally different right now. And if we would set the example for the world, things would be different right now. Do not be haughty in your mind, but associate with the lowly. Don't be wise in your own estimation. Oh, I know that. Oh, I know the answer to that. Oh, I've got it covered. Oh, I've done that before. Oh, I can do that. Don't be haughty. Don't be wise in your own estimation. Don't toot your own horn. Amen? Don't pat yourself on the back. It's a lot more effective when somebody else does it. Never pay back evil for evil, listen, to anyone. Not just those of the brethren. I'll get you, my pretty. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. And if possible, man, this is the hardest one for me. If possible, so far as it depends upon you, be at peace with all men. Ouch. That's a tough one, isn't it? We cannot do that unless God's Holy Spirit wells up in us through our submissiveness to Him, and I say, God, I can't be at peace with all men because of that sucker over there. God says, I can. If you just relax into me, you are my living and holy sacrifice set apart for me. So let me do it. Let me love that person. Let me give encouragement to that person. I'll do a much better job than you do. And He will. You see the difference between just duties and submissive duties? Duties are something that I feel like I have to do. Submissive duties are the recognition that I can't, but He can. So here you are. And that's all that He asked to begin with. In this whole chapter, He's been saying right from the start, a living and holy sacrifice, that's all I'm asking so that I can work out in you these things that'll change your mind and the mind of the people around you about who you are and who Christ is. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I'll repay them. If they need repaid, I can do a good job. Don't you worry. But if your enemy is hungry, you feed him. And if he's thirsty, give him to drink. For in so doing, you will be doing what is right in the sight of all men. That will change minds and hearts. Amen? And lastly, for this morning, he says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, I've got to say that I still get tempted. I know that most of you are good Christians and don't. But I still get tempted. You know, dumb stuff. Not big stuff anymore so much, but just dumb stuff. And it's so easy to fall into it. I mean, laying awake at night when I'm supposed to be sleeping so I can get a good night's sleep so I can get up and preach in the morning. And the enemy comes along and says, hey, you're really creep. What are you doing preaching? What are you doing teaching? What are you doing going to church? The way you talked to that person this last week, what are you doing going to church? Some of you had to deal with that, didn't you? And the only thing that I can say is this. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God's word is good. And the only way we overcome the bad and the evil is with the word of God. Paul is really trying to change the tempo right here. And he goes, listen, we've talked about some heavy stuff these first 11 chapters. Well, let me show you how they apply. And he goes on, by the way, all the rest of the way through the end of the book, he's doing this kind of stuff. This is how it applies. All this stuff we talked about to begin with, all the freedom and all like that, this is how it applies as you live out your life. Let God live through you. These are the submissive duties of being set apart, holy and acceptable to God, which is, by the way, your spiritual service in worship. And with a nod to the great music that you guys have, when it's talking about worship right there, it's not talking about singing. It's talking about bowing down before God. That's what that means. Giving up. Bowing down before God. I am so thankful for the application of the first 11 chapters. Otherwise, I'm not sure I'd know what to do with it. But he's pretty much outlined it. And the key for me is do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind in Christ Jesus. Would you bow with me as we pray together? Father, we thank you for this time that we can spend together. We thank you, God, for opening up your word to us. We thank you, God, that you have it all written down for us. That not only did you ask us to be a living sacrifice, but you showed us what that really means, what that looks like. And God, for all of us here this morning, and for those that will be watching this later on, God, we give you ourselves. We want to be that living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you. But Father, we can't even do that except through the person of the Holy Spirit that resides in us. God, let that Holy Spirit, that person, you, God, have the freedom to rise up in us and be who you've created us to be. God, we understand that this is not a list of do's and don'ts. It is a criteria that says you can't do it. Let me. And so, God, here you go. Do whatever you need to do, however that you need to do it, in my life and in the lives of these here this morning. God, you know that we will give you all the glory in the name of Jesus. Amen.